Amen. All right, tonight I want to talk to you. Kelly opened up to talk about love, and she was talking about love. Then she opened up talking about love, and you guys ended with love, and so I was thinking about some things, and a couple scriptures came to me. Amen. And today when I was at work, and this kind of all started with work, you never know what the day is going to bring you. Amen. You never know. And you got, is that too much? Okay. That's beautiful. So today I was talking to a guy, and I don't know what it was, but God brought a conversation up. And this guy was the guy, he's the guy that gave me his number and said, pray for me and my wife. So today I was with him. I've been with him for a couple weeks. So I always, man, pay attention. You know, I'm there with somebody. I think it's purposeful. Amen. So him and he was talking about some things, and I could say this because he told me, so it's out there now. But he said that, you know, he said he's been struggling with his thoughts and depression and that. And he said he went to a psychiatrist. He spent $200 to go see a psychiatrist. And he said, he told him, he says, just change your thinking. Which is true. But he spent $200 for it. I said, I wish you'd have saved it. You'd give me $100, and I'd save you, and I'll tell you. So I began to talk to him about some things. I began to talk to him about thoughts and how that sometimes there has to be a training that takes place. Really does. And everything begins is in your heart. And God talks about this. He talks about our heart. It's a heart condition. Sometimes Jesus didn't always deal with some issues, and that's been a big topic lately about, well, Jesus didn't say this about this and about this. I want you to know that sometimes Jesus doesn't do things to try to convince you. It has to be something in your heart. It comes from your heart. All right? I want you to think about this. And it's something that you begin to think about and what you decide to do with it. Amen? It's good. So I want to look at this. 2 Peter. I want to make you see this. I don't want to make you see it, but I want you to like you to see it. So there's just a couple of scriptures, and I just want to share these. I want to read these because I think it's important. I want to read the end because it says, you shall never fail. And there's a condition that God says that you'll never fail in. Never fail. How many of you guys want to be there? Amen? I mean, seriously, we want to be at that place. I mean, so if he's saying that, he's not a liar. He said you could be holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. God will never say anything to you that you are not able to do. He said, be holy as I'm holy. Amen? So there's something that he declares. So how do I get there? Ask your neighbor, how do I get there? Amen? And it says, according to as a divine power hath given unto us, there is a divine power. Say there's a divine power. There's a divine power in every one of us. There's a resource, there's an account within every one of us. It's a spirit of God within us to withdraw from. Amen? To withdraw from. Now, I mean, think about that. If you knew you had an account you can withdraw from, would you withdraw from it? If you had an account, and you do have an account, amen? It's the Holy Spirit that's in you to withdraw from, to access. Amen? Sometimes you got to learn to train yourself. And I know, man, the other day I was thinking about this. I was like, oh, I'm really nervous when I was doing the baccalaureate. I was like, man, I can talk in front of anybody. But when it comes to, like, educated people, sometimes I feel like I'm, in my mind, I'm thinking I'm in fear. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I barely got through VOTAC. You know, whatever. And that's the lowest, really. I mean, they really push you through there. I got A's in masonry, though. So that's what I was there for, right? You know, the other stuff was just, you know, it was part of it, you know. But I was sitting there, and I was sitting up there on that stage, and I was looking out. I'm like, do these people even like me? Do they, you know, you're thinking, you're looking at me, you know. You need to know me. Listen, the way I open is humor. I want to, if I get people laughing with me, I can get them. You know, that's what listen, I open up with my first joke and stuff, like, you know, my story. Nobody laughed. There's a couple hundred people. Nobody laughed. Like, it was like, I'm like, laugh. Okay, that was a joke. Okay, so no, but they did. But they eventually did. They came around. But when I was sitting there, I was just reminded, like, man, you have the Holy Spirit within you, you know. And I began to pray in the Spirit, not out loud, but inside me. And not one person there knew what was going on, but something was rumbling within me. Okay, something has happening within me. There was something I was withdrawing from that I needed at that moment. I needed it. Amen. So we need to withdraw from that. So he says, I hate when my pages turn like this. Now I can't even find it. Where was it? Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay, so here. So he says, just, I want you to hear this. I've read these before, but it's important to hear this. And he says, according to thy divine power hath given us the things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, of worth and image. He's called you to this. Whereby you are given an exceedingly great precious promise. Promises that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, that you might be partakers. You can either partake or not partake. That you would be partakers of this nature that is in you. So I want you to see this, understand that there's something that you are partaking of. You're partaking of His nature that is in you. That's something you do. Tell someone that you do. Tell somebody else it's what you do. And beside this, giving all diligence. Listen, that was the hardest thing for me not to do when I was there, is try to get them to interact, because I knew it wasn't that kind of setting. Can you say amen to me? I didn't do it one time. And it said, did I? I don't think right now. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, into knowledge, temperance. And it goes on, it tells you, add to these. This is adding to this. What, from what? Not from out of thin air, but from the nature of God that's in you. So you're pulling from that account, that you're adding on to your account. It's building. Amen? It's building you up. The image of God is building up within you. It's creating the atmosphere, the image of God around you. And he says, but you lack these things is blind. Whoever lacks these things, for if these things be in you, abound. That means that they're coming out of you. They're bounding. They're going farther. They're going beyond. And he says, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to your calling and election, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. For it, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom. There will be abundance ministered to you. Come on, amen. It's ministered to you when you're pulling from that, partaking from that. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that you know them and be established in this present truth. It's not something far off. Amen? It's not something that you can be at a place some other day, some sweet by and by. No, no. Right now, it's a present truth to me right now. It's tangible. It's reality. That's what's awesome. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in the tabernacle, knowing that shortly I must be put, blah, blah, blah. Moreover, I endeavor that you might be able to always remember these things. Joshua, James 4:1. Let me get going here so I can give you these real quick. James is right before Peter. After Hebrews, James 4:1, and he says, James 4:1, yeah. From whenceforth wars and fightings among you come, There's wars and fightings among you. Where do they come from? Just think about that. Remember that. Where do they come from? I want you to think about this, that listen, some of the disturbances that we have that happen on the outside is something that is not really created on the outside. It's something that's happening on the inside. Wars and problems like that are something from the heart. Say it's a heart issue. So we're dealing with a heart. There's a condition with a heart that we have. All right? So listen. So he says, lust that war in your members. They war in your members. He says, ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. He says that you're always, you kill, you're not literally killing somebody, but when you're lusting for somebody, you're looking for something for that person, you envy somebody. Come on, amen. When we're evering, we want that, we want this, we want these things. These things are in our hearts. So he says, and those things will end up creating war in your heart because you'll desire. It doesn't mean that we don't desire things, but no, when it becomes lust, when it overtakes you, that you are depressed because you don't have it. Come on, amen. You're run down because you don't have it. You look at somebody's life and you envy that, and you begin to look at that and wish that you had this. Or why can't my life be this way? Why can't I have perfect health? Or why can't I be here? Why can't I have that? Come on, just think about that. He says those are wars that are happening within us. And he says, the Spirit dwelleth... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I missed a whole bunch. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. Now, I want you to get this because I really dealt with this today in my heart because I thought about it. And this is where I want to get to because we ask amiss. What does that mean that I got to ask the proper way or I don't go through the right protocol to ask from God? That sounds funny to me because He's my Father that I got to ask properly. If my daughter doesn't ask me for food to eat the right way, she ain't getting it. So I know that's not what he's talking about. So what we're talking about is, he says, you ask amiss. That means this. I believe this. I believe that we begin to run to something else. We ask amiss. We're missing God. All right? We're missing it. Instead of asking Him in a sense, we're asking the wrong thing. We're looking in the wrong direction. We're missing the one we should be really seeking, asking. You hear what I'm saying? So listen. So he says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, and you double-minded. Double-minded. All right? He says, be afflicted and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and I shall lift you up. All right? And what he's saying is that thing that you think brings you joy, that thing that you think brings you joy, but when you don't have it, you find you don't have joy. Lose it. Exchange it. Don't ask amiss. You're asking the wrong way. You're asking me to do something for you that I'm not going to do for you. Because it's not going to help you. So what I'm saying is that asking to get something from God, okay, that is not going to benefit me, is not going to give me permanent joy or satisfaction. He's not going to give it to me. I'm not going to give this to you to add to your dilemma. So we ask amiss. So here we go. Because why? There's a heart issue. You know who controls your heart? You. You do. We do. I can't control your heart. That's why I said Jesus would put it before them. They control their hearts. All right? So Philippians 4:8. Let me finish this part and then go to my text. It's only three scriptures. It's awesome. That's dangerous to me, ain't it? Three scriptures. Philippians 4:8 says this. It says, and you all know the scripture. Rejoice always in the Lord. This is 4. Let your moderation be known all that man the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes our understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ. So let me see it again. And let the peace of God, which passes our understanding, we need to let God get before us, before our understanding. We try to figure it all out and we confuse ourselves, frustrate ourselves. We need to let God get in front of my understanding of whatever that is. Well, I don't understand this. Let God get in front of it. Let God pass up your understanding to reveal what it's all about. All right? He says, and he says, be careful for not be anxious about thanksgiving. Let your heart request be known unto God. And the peace of God which passes understanding shall be keep your hearts and minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. Let these be the things that you think of that are in your mind. So you got to train your brain. Okay? Now listen, because here's why I say this. If you don't train your brain, it'll train itself. It will go to what you think about first. It'll be your first response. Okay? Listen. It'll be the first response you have. Now, and I just heard this the other day, but they were saying that your brain has canals that it runs through when you think. And from an early age, it begins to run those channels. Whatever way you think. If you think negatively about things, it will run that route. Why? Because it's been conditioning your heart that way. So your brain will think the way your heart does. It doesn't go on its own. Now just get this. So you have to retrain. And they said that if you work at it, you can reroute your thinking. Your brain will be changed the way that it responds, the way that it thinks about things. Wow. I thought that's odd. See, because the Word of God tells me that stuff. But scientists backed up what God already said that we don't always believe. Amen? Renew your mind in Christ. To renew it. Think of the right thing. Here's the problem. Whenever things come your way, this is what I mean by training. Whenever thoughts come your mind, whatever they are, we have to condition ourselves this way. When that thought comes, you need to get it. You need to take that thought. Whatever that is. You wake up in the morning and say, oh, this is going to be a horrible day. Stop. Think of things that are true. Here's what we need to do. You need to take that thought and you see, is this the truth? Well, I don't know yet. Day hasn't begun. Okay. But is it the absolute truth? No. Because the day hasn't begun. So what is it going to be? So you stop at that moment. You begin to catch yourself and recondition yourself. That's what we need to begin to do. The first thing that comes that way, you need to guard your heart. Nobody else will do it for you. You do. And as we guard our heart, then all of a sudden we condition ourselves to think the right things. I know every one of us, this sounds great, but we really want to do that. And we think, I don't know if I... Listen, we can. We can do that. Every one of us need to do it. Learn to do it more. Amen? But that's to have a joyful mindset. Have a joyful mindset. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever, blah, 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 blah. It goes down. He says, those things, he says, which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What does it say? Say it louder. Do. And the God of peace, and then the God of peace shall be with you. If you do these things, he'll strengthen you. But I want you to know, it's at that moment, I want you to know it's bringing a connection with God, because at that moment when you begin to stop yourself and think the right thing and you begin to recondition yourself, then guess what? The God of peace will be with you in the midst of that. But we ask amiss. This day's horrible. God, help me through this day. But we're doing nothing about it. This day sucks, God. Why? Can you help me? No, because I can't change your heart. Your heart is the way it is. You're looking for a bad day. You'll get it. But if you condition your heart, the God of peace will be with you. Wow. We are dumb sometimes, aren't we? Sorry. Let's look at this scripture. Psalms 119. Are you ready? I said all this to say this. I love this scripture. I love it. Psalms 119, verse 112. This is like the longest book in the Bible. I do believe it is. Yeah. The longest book. He had a lot to say in this, you know? He just didn't put a period until way into later. What's that? Longest chapter. Book of the Bible. It's called a book. They're all books of the Bible. Different books of the Bible. I'll let you correct me. But if you're wrong, I'm not going to last you. Listen. I have inclined. But we could preach that. I have inclined mine heart to what? Perform. Okay. How many of you got? Every one of you know what it is to incline. You all have an incliner at home? You have an incliner? So when you have an incline and you go back, what is that called? Recline. Okay? You lay back. So the word incline means action. Okay? Get this. So if I incline my heart, that is an action that you inclined your heart. That means that there's an action taking place to my heart. It just doesn't come by itself. That I incline my heart to what? To perform. To do the right thing. Because if not, it'll do the wrong thing. So he said, I inclined it to perform. Don't let your heart decline, but incline. Set your heart towards God. But what we do is we decline. We get motivated to want to do it. Come on, every one of you. You want to do the right things. Paul said that. He says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. There we go again. Why? Because it's a condition of the heart. So my heart has to incline to perform the right way. I have to go the right way. Because it won't. I have to train it to do that. Amen? He says, there has to be a guard. Proverbs 4:23. Check this out. Unless he gets there, I want to read this. Get there? Yeah. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of... Wow. For out of it are the issues of life. Wow. Out of your heart comes issues. So this is very important for us to gain, to understand, to know that out of my heart, that is where the center of my life, where all my things are formed within me, my conditioning, my beliefs are in my heart, the way that I look at people, the way that I react to people, the way that I think, is at this place. So what happens is we come, we want saved, we want God to change everything, but there's something that I have to do. Incline my heart to perform. I need to condition my heart. I need to guard my heart. I'm going to take this slow. Verse 113. And it says, I have inclined my heart to perform that thy statutes always, even unto the end. That I've inclined my heart to obey God's word even unto the end. I got to keep doing this. Next verse says this. I hate vain thoughts, double-mindedness. I hate it. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. I hate this thinking. He's come to a place where he's inclined that I need to do this. I have to change the way that I'm thinking. My heart needs to change. And he says, but I love thy law. So the way that you change your heart, you have to hate what's hurting you. Let's get this. I want you to get this. I need to hate that thing that I'm thinking that's negative. I need to hate that thing. See, listen, every one of us, you want to lose weight. We want to lose weight. Or this or whatever that is. But we love Doritos. Ever since I took steroids, I've gained a sweet tooth. Never had one, have I? Never. Anything sweet I've been killing. Man, I hated sweets. I just didn't like the taste. Too much sweetness. Didn't like it. You know what I mean? I just didn't like that sweet too much. Like icing on cake. Because I had bad teeth when I was a little kid. So I'd eat something and it hurt so bad. So I hated it. But I got better teeth now. And I said, that's good. That's good. Suzy Q. I told Kelly, I said, really, I'm really craving Suzy Q's. They don't. But I can't eat one. They're just not big enough. Yeah. So I'm like, I ate four. But like, I go to the refrigerator and there's pie in there. I'm thinking, should I cut that in half? Nah. Just going to eat that whole thing. It's that big. So I got to stop, okay? I got to hate that thing. So what I'm thinking is, listen, that thing that's hurting me, setting running to it, I need to hate that thing. I need to hate it with everything. Come on, just like, I want you to know that there's some things that you hate. I hate racism. I hate bullies. See, I grew up and I was bullied. I was called a bedwetter. And somebody, my brother, told everybody that I peed the bed. I forgive him. And then my mother would go to, she went to my friends when we went there, she whispered in her ear, he pees the bed. It's just to let you know. Mom, I had a plan. I was staying up all night long. Now he knows. And then what does his mom do? Hey, don't let your friend sleep. He'll pee the bed. Probably. I don't know what it was. But it hurt me. So anywhere I go, I have this mentality to save people that are bullied. I go to a Steeler game. Somebody's getting bullied. I get involved. Everywhere I go. All the time. Everywhere I go. I mean, I've seen a cat getting bullied in a parking lot in Ohio. I jumped out of the car and chased the guy down. I mean, just, I don't know. You know what I mean? Wherever it is, so I hate that. I hate it, okay? So that drive. So it is good to hate things, amen? It is good. There's certain things that you need to learn to hate, amen? Things that are destructive to you, you need to learn to hate those things. This thing's going to kill you. You need to learn to hate this thing. So there's something that we need to learn. There's some things that we need to learn to hate these things. So we need to train our heart to know this thing's killing me. I need to learn to hate this thing. Give me the strength to hate this thing that I can love your word more than I love whatever that thing is. So we condition our hearts to hate what we need to hate and love what we need to love. Amen. Look up the word hate in the Bible. Jesus talks about it. He says it a few times. There's things that he hates, and he said those things. So we have to be at that place. They hate vain thoughts, double-minded thoughts. We love what it does for me, but we hate what it does to me. We love those sweets because we love what they do for me, but we hate what they do to us. Amen? So, we think about these things. And we have these things. No one will want... Now, I thought about this, and I began to think, we need to hate to do those things. But we love to do it. And I thought about some things that we do. We love to complain. Sometimes it's a moment that you just feel good about it. Let me tell you about my day. We feel good, but then we know that it doesn't make us feel, but we do it in that moment. It does feel good, but I want you to see something. It is hurting our hearts when we do that. How about when we get pity? We love pity. We love pity, but we realize that it brings harm to us. Or sometimes whatever it is, that when you use anger on somebody, I know a guy, there's a guy that is a boss that he yells at everybody. He loves the way it makes him feel. Because he puts himself up to everything. But nobody wants to be around him. When you complain all the time and all they do is hear you complain, nobody wants to be around you. They'll listen to you and like, man, I got to get away from this guy. I don't want to be around this no more. Do you see what I'm saying? This is what happens. Or sometimes people do these things. And we all do these things, you know, whatever that thing is. We need to learn to hate those things that cause us harm. Because complaining, rising up with an anger, whatever those things are, we have to stop pity or whatever those, I feel bad for me, hide in a pit and you complain, you know, to yourself and you, oh, I feel so bad. This is the way it is. Just think about that. So, you think about, and I thought about David. Remember when David, when Joab went to David and told him Absalom was dead? Remember, Absalom was his son? And he cried and was devastated by it? Do you know who Absalom was? It is his son. But his son was trying to kill him. He was trying to take everything from him, destroy him. He had this hatred towards him. And David went and killed the guy that defended him. Destroyed this man's life, killed him, took him out of the picture. He hated what loved him and loved what hated him. And it almost caused him destruction because of that. We have to learn to hate the things that cause us destruction and love the things that gives us life. We have to find what those are. We have to make that decision in our hearts and not let them in. Those things that we do, that we're conditioned to do. Amen? So, and the next one. He says, vain thoughts, but do I love. Verse 14 says, thou art my hiding place. I love this scripture. These are the ways that we incline our heart. Okay? These are the ways that we begin to incline our heart to action, is that when we begin to hate what God hates, what we know hurts us, and we need to know what our hiding place is. Where do you run to? I just want us to stop and think, what is your hiding place? Where do you go when things get tough? And I'm not talking about a place. Unless it's a bar, and then, okay. Maybe that is not the... It's a hiding place to you, because you're trying to cover things up. But sometimes there's a hiding place that we go. I want you to hear this. A hiding place. And sometimes, whatever that hiding... Maybe it's... We blame people. That's our hiding place. Does that make sense? When anything goes wrong, and things are rough outside... Oh... It's my car. I'm so miserable because of my car. Oh, it's my kids. Or whatever it is, I don't have any money. So that's our hiding place. When things get rough, we blame it on somebody. Well, it's the way that I'm raised, or it's my whatever that thing is. It's my job, or whatever that is. We blame it on something, and we find a sense of safety in there. Do you remember Elijah? Remember when things went wrong with him? He found a hiding place. It was a cave.
He hid in the cave in the dark. He felt safe there. But the thing that he thought was saving him was constricting him. It was keeping from fulfilling what he was called to do. Sometimes we let those things that we hide, that we try to hide with in our hearts, whatever they are, and we can't perform what we're supposed to. And we wonder why. We're asking God for help, but we're hiding in a cave. We're blaming it on everything else instead of looking in our house in the condition of my heart. Why am I hiding here? Why am I? And God at that moment spoke to him. He says, why are you here? Why aren't you running to me? Why aren't you making me your hiding place, that I might abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Do you remember that the woman, what was her name, that she was a Jewish lady that wrote the book, The Hiding Place? Corrie Ten Boom. One of them. That was good. Close though. I mean, Corrie Ten Boom. She wrote My Hiding Place. She found a hiding place in captivity. She could have let that place become a prison to her, whatever it was, and hurt her. But she ran to God. We always run sometimes to the thing that is destroying us and try to hide there, trying to hide under that thing. Sometimes people do it with sarcasm. Sometimes people do it with whatever that thing, whatever it might be. You can, every one of people have different hiding places. Sometimes people do it with eating. Seriously, I mean, that they're depressed or whatever, and they eat. So there's a hiding place. They feel comfortable at that place. Does that make sense? So whatever that thing is, and we need to question ourselves, what am I hiding to? Whatever things happen, am I running to God or am I hiding in my condition, whatever this thing is? We need to question ourselves. We need to ask that. What am I inclining to? Where am I going? We wonder why things don't change. And we have to ask that question. Am I guarding my heart? Am I going in the right place? It's a heart issue. Amen? He says, I thought about this too. Do we run to the enemy that is attacking us? He says, and I know where to hide when I'm attacked. See, this is where he was at. He was saying this. He says that he becomes, let me finish it. He says, and thou, you are my hiding place. Now, I want you to know that every one of us, our hearts, need to know where to run to when we're attacked. Whenever I go into places, I have a habit of doing, it's not every time, but a lot, is I try to find an exit. I do that. Do you do that? Like, look for an exit? Look for an escape route? I don't know why. I don't know why I do that. Did you teach me? Somebody taught me that. One of my family members. Oh, not like that. Yeah. Maybe because I was conditioned, because I was always looking for a place to run from the cops. So maybe that's where it came from. I don't know. Yeah, probably that said it. But I would condition myself to look for escape route, because if I'm attacked or something happens, I knew how to get out. So I want you to know, where do I run to when I'm attacked? Where do I run to when things get rough? What do I do in that moment? I need to learn to condition myself to run to what saves me. I need to condition myself that way, that when I feel this way, I need to run to Him, because then His peace will be added to me. I'm asking God to hide, to help me, but yet I'm hiding in a cave. Or I got a handful of Suzy Q's. Lift up your... I can't. Let me finish. Why did you call me to ask you to help you? I'm making fun of myself. Is that all right? Shirt doesn't fit very good. I don't know why. He says, I told my wife I was having an affair with Susie.
hate them. He says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. He says, and this is the last part. He says, what does he say? I hope in your word. Now, let's stop and just get this, because he says, I hope. Not that I have hope. And I wrote this down. Not just something I have. It's not just something. It's not just something that I have naturally. We learned this from the beginning. It's something that I'm inclined to. It's an action. And he says, I hope. And I wrote this. He says that it is an action. I hope. I hope it is an action. He's that I'm, it's something that I'm progressing. I'm hoping. I'm what am I doing in the meantime? I'm inclining my heart. I'm doing something about it. It's action. I'm making it. It's not just like, why I'm you know, not doing nothing for it. But he says, I hope. I hope. It's an action word. He says, it's like this. You ever hear somebody say that I hope for the best, but expect the... That's the way sometimes our brains are trained. How many of you have ever said that? That's a condition of a heart. It's nothing against anybody. We all do that. I'm hoping it won't happen. That's asking God amiss. That's what I mean by that. I ask and I do not receive. Because God sometimes does not give me because the condition of my heart is not ready to accept it. He's not ready. It's not ready to receive it. It would not handle it right. It would not appreciate it. And we're all there sometimes. Amen? But we have to be at that place that I hope, and it's active. And he says, in your word, in what you say. So what you say needs to be what I say. I need to condition my heart. So then I can begin to say to myself, I love your word. We begin to condition ourselves to love. Listen, I want you to know how many... I hate exercising, but I don't exercise. I don't like people that say, I love to exercise. You're a weirdo. But seriously, I can't say that. Because why? I don't exercise. I don't know what it's like. But if I begin to exercise, I want you to know that eventually, guess what? I probably will begin to love it. Why am I exercising? Because I want to be healthier. Why do I do what I do? Why do I don't stop at that first, second Suzy Q? So we begin to do that. I'm conditioning my... But whatever we learn to do, whatever you do, you begin to love it. You begin to love it. I want you to know this, that listen, when I first started, when I began to came into the Lord, and that I really didn't like to read the Word of God, it didn't make sense to me, blah, 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 blah. But I want you to know, as I begin to do it, as I begin to make it part of my being, and begin to let it become part, it began to be my hope, I begin to incline to the Word of God. And as I begin to do that, it began to perform in my life. I begin to love it. And I love to read the Word of God. I love to read it. I love to let God jump out of the pages and touch me and speak to my heart. I love that. That's intimacy with God. Without it, there's no intimacy in a sense. We have it in worship, but I want you to know there's more to it when I hear that word. When I'm telling God I love you in worshiping Him, that's one part of it. But whenever I'm letting God speak to me, come on, amen, that sometimes we do all the talking. Worthy are you, Lord! We're crying out to Him, but yet this is the moment where I begin to hear Him talk to me, tell me things, and I learn to love it. It can happen as we incline our hearts that way. Learn to love the Word. I got a kid that works with me, and he just told me the other day, he says, you know, every day you write through that scripture. He said, where do you get them at? Usually I make them up, you know. I said, out of the Bible. Oh, those are really good. They are. He said, I read them every day. He said, probably the first thing, because usually it's 6 o'clock in the morning, you know. So, but he says, I read it every day while he's on the toilet. Thanks, man, you know. Appreciate that. But I just see what I'm saying. I mean, that he's learning. It's starting to get into him. I said, well, let that get into you. Let that. He even asked me what time church was tonight. He's not here, but that's all right. He's asking. See what I mean? I mean, God begins to operate. God begins to do something. He's hearing that word. He didn't even realize what's happening. Either do we, whenever we begin to do things we shouldn't do, we don't always realize what's happening. But yet, when we do this, we let God begin to work in us. We don't realize what's happening, but it's creating life, an atmosphere. So train your brains. Train your thoughts. Let's begin to do that. Let's challenge one another. When we hear one another doing that, saying something, let's help each other. Don't condemn anybody or blah, blah, blah. But just say, hey, yeah, let's talk right. Let's speak right or whatever that is. We all need to do that. Amen? Creates an incredible atmosphere and our heart becomes seasoned and right. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I pray to God, Lord, that we incline into your word to God. We make it an action, that we do it. That we don't just talk about it. We do it. Lord, it's not just like a new Year's resolution, but God, it becomes a habit. It becomes something that we do. It becomes our reality, our truth in our life that guides us. Lord, I thank you for that. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.